I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network. I welcome Michael Yon, war correspondent, Michael underline Yon. Michael is in Panama, north of Panama City, to report on his following very carefully a Haitian family he first met in Colombia that is making its way north to the American border. The Haitian family is now crossed into Mexico, so we're going to, a week later, catch up with Medici, her brother Miguel, and their mother as they attempt to cross all of Central America to reach the American border, and then goes the thinking to reach into America where they have relatives. That's the thinking. Michael, a very good evening to you. And in Panama, I understand your electricity is out, and we're doing this on the magic of phone connections, so we'll be very careful. And in the background, Michael tells me those are wonderful birds all around him in Panama. Michael, where is the threatened family? What have they achieved this last week?
Well, the Haitian family that we started tracking down in Nicoclí in Colombia, and have been tracking all the way through Panama and Costa Rica, Nicaragua, Honduras, Guatemala, has now made it into Tapachula, Mexico. Tapachula is the southernmost city in Mexico. It's on the border with Guatemala, and it's sort of like the El Paso of Mexico, but it's the Mexican version. And across the river there is Guatemala. So two nights ago, they walked across with a coyote and did not take – sometimes people take inner tubes that have, you know, pallets strapped to them as a raft. They didn't have to do that. The river was low enough. They walked across and just got wet up to the knees, according to Medese. She's 16. And they made it into Mexico, where they will have to wait for several months, 3 to 4 months, she said, according to her mother, as they do paperwork to – and hopefully for them, make it north to the United States, where they probably won't make it in anyway. And so it's been a really terrible journey from them, from Haiti to Chile, Ecuador, Colombia, through the Darien Gap, where approximately 11 people died in their group. And then finally, you know, many hungry days and nights. You've seen the photos I've sent, how much weight they've lost. And now they're waiting in southern Mexico.
So they crossed Costa Rica. They crossed Panama, they crossed Costa Rica, they crossed Nicaragua, they reached into Honduras. Is that where they, or Honduras is where they were, and then they crossed into Mexico. You mentioned they're malnourished, but we want to back up a little bit. They are attempting to get into the U.S., and they were in Chile. They started in Chile. Is that correct, Michael?
Right. Originally in Haiti, but they were down in Chile for a couple of years. And then when Biden was elected, that was bang, the starting gun. And so they headed north to Ecuador and then Colombia. And that's where we met them, in North Colombia, just at the edge of the Darien Gap. And so then they just crossed two nights ago from Guatemala into Tapachula, Mexico. So that's
Guatemala,
if you look at the map, that's a long journey.
It is, but they were in Chile for 2 years, you believe. This is Medici telling Michael serially the story of this young family. They were in Chile. What were they doing in Chile? Were they doing well in Chile? Did they have relatives in Chile? It's a very well-developed country.
According to Medici and her mother, they have at least one relative in Chile, which is her mother's sister, aunt, who has been wiring them money. And the mother had a job in Chile. I don't know what that job was, but I'll fly up to Mexico and interview them if I can, which I think I will be able to, and find out more. But they had some money. I mean, they had jewelry, and Medici has an iPhone, and her mother had a Samsung phone. The Samsung phone, according to them, got stolen. They let Medici keep the iPhone. And so they did have some money, and they've had the money to travel. They got robbed in the Darien Gap, as everybody does, and so they resupplied by their aunt sending them money from Chile. So, I mean, when the people get robbed, if you don't have a way for somebody to wire you money, then you're going to have to live by your wits, either steal or prostitution, or friends are going to have to send you money. So, I mean, this is because according to everybody that makes it through, everybody gets robbed blind in the Darien Gap.
All right, they're now in Mexico. We don't know why they left Chile other than the fact that they believe this was the moment to get in the U.S. They're in Mexico, and you say they're going to be there for many weeks. Why? What is holding them there?
Months, according to them, 3 to 4 months, doing paperwork for the Mexican government. And according to others who have been up there, such as Chuck Colton, war correspondent, friend of mine, the Mexican government puts them through hoops of various paperwork. And I'm unclear as why. I'm going to go up there and find out myself. But for instance, if you can see videos online, for instance, on YouTube, where different various people, whether it's Haiti and other places, saying, you know, the Mexican government keeps us here. They make things difficult for us, you know, have to fill out this paper, go to a different part of town, you know, the normal bureaucracy, red tape. And I don't know why they want to keep them there. I'm going to go up there and find out.
You tell me that Tapachula is a UN of cuisine, that people from all over the world arrive there. That is their journey north to America. And there are restaurants of every variety. How wide, Michael? What have you learned about the, when you get to Tapachula, how well are you going to eat?
Well, for instance, yeah, as an example, I've been told that, of course, there's Chinese restaurants. Those are everywhere. But there's also Bangladeshi, Indian, Nepalese, an African restaurant with some lady from Africa that makes some sort of exotic African cuisine that many of the Africans go to. So there's so many people that come through from all over the world that there's little niches there for many different sorts of restaurants.
Michael, from Tapachula north to the American border, it's quite a journey. The Mexican authorities, are they going to aid them in making that journey? For example, you told me that the Panamanian authorities were keen to transfer people from the southern part of Panama and put them into Costa Rica. Then Costa Rica did the same thing. I'm presuming Nicaragua and Guatemala have done the same thing. Are the Mexican authorities going to give them a bus ride, make sure they move? Mexico is a large country. They could disappear into it.
According to Medese and her mother, they're going to have to pay for their bus rides. However, we know that under the Trump administration, the migrants were stopped cold down at the border, at the southern border.
Right.
And so, you know, they have the ability to stop them. That's not an issue. I mean, they can stop them if they want to stop them. For whatever reasons, the Mexicans decide to let them stay in Tapachula for a while, probably making some sort of money off of it, and then they proceed forward up to our border.
Are they still traveling with other Haitians? I know that was true when they crossed into Panama. Or are they by themselves, Miguel, Medici, and their mother?
They have a loose group for people that have, you know, done much trekking and tracking. It sort of sounds like that, which I've done in my younger days. And you'll start with some group and they get kind of split up and stretched out, but then they bunch up together again at the next way stop along the way. That's the way it sounds, because we keep talking about some of the same people that we saw down in Nicocli in Colombia. For instance, one lady named Christmas, she was a Haitian lady. Medese sees Christmas at times. So it sounds like sort of a loose group of people that end up in the same places, because this is a well-worn route. It's not like everybody comes up and shotguns out and goes many different directions. They go to very specific way stops. They go to specific camps, specific coyotes. I mean, this is sort of a lonely planet of migration, you might say.
Michael, what do we know? I mean, what can we guess about their information about crossing into America? Do they see the videos that we see of these waves of people emerging from the bush, from the Rio Grande into Texas? Does that encourage them to see all these people making it into America? Of course, you don't know what happens to them after they're detained, but they do cross into the U.S.
They seemed more enthusiastic earlier than they do now. It seems to have dawned on them now that this is not going to be just go up to America and be welcomed in. Because remember, a couple of weeks ago, I think we talked about the CNN programming that we've seen at night, where, you know, on televisions at the hotel, CNN is basically saying, you're so welcome to go to America, right? And it's in Spanish. Chuck Colton has been interpreting it when CNN comes on. He's like, look at this. This is an infomercial, and you can see it. They've got the maps, like, here they go up through Colombia, up through you know, and so CNN and others have been encouraging them to go north. And, you know, and look what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen. They're going up into those drug cartels. You and I talk about it sometimes offline. They're going into the jaws of hell, into these cartels up near our border. And then will they even make it in? If they do make it in, will they be separated from their mother? I mean, this is like an incredible tragedy unfolding right before our eyes, baited by our own government.
Michael Yon, war correspondent, at Michael_Yon. He's north of Panama City right now, reporting on the progress of a small Haitian family, Miguel Medese and their mother, tracking all the way across Central America to the American border. And then we'll follow the story as best we can. It's not as if we can do anything about this. We're just watching it as everyone's watching the tragedy that is unfolding. When we come back, Michael is in contact with Southeast Asia. He lives there for many years, Chiang Mai in Thailand. And there's a tragedy on its own in Burma right now, murder. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network.